plated chicken wings, I'd be on it, son. It's kind of anything. The cool thing about these beers is that you can sort of pair it with anything, because really you're gonna, it's set up to let the food shine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just there to quench your thirst and kind of not destroy you, because it's such a low ABV.
Sure.
And it's like, it's not like super hoppy where it's going to wear out your palate, or it's not super thick so it's going to fill you up or anything. It's just going to, this is a beer made for drinking, just drinking.
Well, and again, like to compare against the Forza is fruity and we got the nice fruits on it,
yeah,
which made it so appealing to us.
The hops stick out more in the Forza.
Right.
This one, you get a little more malt character. I think the malt is more the star in this one.
But also, Helles lagers are a little bit spicier, right? So if you're, and that's what's making, because like when I think of a Helles, I think of floral, like German floral, yeah, with a little bit of a spice bite to it.
I don't get much spice bite, but I definitely get the floral notes.
Well, like almost, I don't know, like the breadiness of the malt, like almost like a slightly peppery breadiness.
Maybe.
When I think of a Helles, you know what I mean?
But I do agree. Like, that's what I was saying. Like, I think the malt is more the star here than the hops.
Sure.
Versus like the Forza, where the malt was sort of a clean palette for those hops to sort of play on top of.
Okay.
And do their thing.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Still good balance.
Oh my gosh. It's a
very drinkable, crushable beer. 4.9. I mean, you're right in there, dude.
It's good. I know.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. And it's just like, I almost feel like it's just splitting hairs in a way as to what is better and what isn't better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you get one that's fruitier, you get one that's a little spicier. On this, what do you think of the finish?
It's good. It's a little soft, but it's still clean. I think the cool thing about this is, like, if you were at their tap room, if they had a tap room, you could just go boom, 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 and go down the line and, like, drink one of each, and you'd never get bored.
Right.
You know,
because each one is distinctively different.
Or if you find your favorite one, you just stick to that one. But mm-hmm. like, I think this is the kind of series of beers where you just, you know, you're not going to get bored.
No.
You're not going to get full.
No.
Might have to go to the bathroom a lot.
Well, but there's that. Okay. We'll be back in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. So today we were taking a trip to New Jersey, and we went just north of Cape May and found Wanderback, which is from Vineland.
We avoided all of the mobsters and dead bodies and found Vineland or Vinnyland. I'm going to call it Vinnyland.
You're going to call it Vinnyland?
Yeah. We went to Vinnyland.
Okay.
Hey, welcome to Vinnyland over here. All right.
Okay. Well, we're doing a brewery takeover, and so far, this brewery has really impressed me in its simplicity.
Yeah.
You know, and I
loves simple things.
I do.
That's why she married me.
Exactly. So true. So true. Okay. So before the break, we were talking about the Wanderback Lager, which is their Helles Lager, 4.9% ABV. And we didn't get around to rating this yet because we were sort of waxing poetic on the differences between a Helles and an Italian lager. Yes. So what do you want to rate this? I'm in four territory as well.
All right.
Okay, last but certainly not least, we're going to venture into pale ale country, and we're going to go to the Perfectly Cromulent IPA. Now, this is the highest ABV that we've had in this flight. This is 6.2% ABV.
27? Is that what you said? 27% ABV?
6.2.
Oh, 6.2. Where did I get 27?
I don't know, buddy. Okay.
I feel like that's what you said.
I think you need a hearing aid. Okay. Perfectly Cromulent.
You want to be daddy? Is that it? You want to wear the daddy pants?
How is that relevant?
How is anything I do relevant?
Fair. Okay. Perfectly Cromulent IPA is brewed with 100% locally grown and malted Rabbit Hill.
Oh my God, Rabbit Hill.
Okay, so it's Pilsner, Chillum, and wheat malts.
Chillum.
Again, decoction mashed, which takes some time.
That's appropriately weird. They did that for the IPA, too.
I know, right? Appropriately hopped with Matuka and Citra in the kettle, and then generously dry hopped with Citra, Matuka, and Citra Cryo.
I do like some Matuka.
I know.
And I like Citra, definitely.
So I like their take on the pale ale compared to like what I view as the standard pale ale this year.
In IPA? This is an IPA.
I thought this is a... Oh, okay. I thought this was a pale ale.
Well, it is, but it's an imperial pale ale.
Is it imperial?
Daddy.
You want to be dad?
Perfectly Cromulent.
Uh-huh.
American.
Perfectly acceptable American pale ale.
I thought you said IPA.
No, it's an American pale ale.
Huh. Well, I guess I'm the jackass.
Okay, what do you think of this?
No, now that I've reframed it in my mind as a pale ale instead of an IPA.
Okay, well, American IPA.
I love it. No,
okay, it's American IPA.
Wait, is it? What is the beer?
American IPA. Hey, sorry, sorry. I wanted to say pale ale. I wanted to say pale ale. I'm sorry.
Well, okay, and what is the ABV?
6.2.
So, honestly,
it could go either way.
It could be a great pale ale. The only difference between an IPA and a pale ale, other than some of these things go high ABV, is the hop versus malt balance, right?
Right.
This is a very well balanced beer. Definitely more hop forward.
And I think because
super clear, it's not hazy at all.
I think because of that, I was thinking that it was a pale ale. Like I was really trying to compare it to Sierra Nevada.
It's okay.
I know. I'm sorry.
I hated that I had to mansplain.
It's fine.
Beer to you.
It's fine.
Because I know you're not, you don't know a lot about beer.
I don't.
Right?
I don't know anything about beer.
You know, if this was all about fingernails getting painted and
I probably
perfume,
wouldn't know much about
that. You told me all about that. No, I'm just kidding. That's probably going to get us banned once again.
once again.
No, so this, I do think, I really prefer IPAs these days that are in the 6 to 6.5% versus 7, 8, 9, 10.
Gosh,
now, some of those are good, but if you want to make a beer that somebody's going to come in and drink 2, 3, whatever of those, you got to be in that 6.2, 6.5% because you're already loading people up with hops. So you're really pushing their palate with all these acids, right? You start laying on more alcohol. The bigger you get with the hops, the more you have to add more malt. So you're just adding all these different things. People get to wear, like our age especially, you can't be drinking like 4, 5, 6 of these daggum things. Well, you know?
Yeah, to me, it's like a snowball effect. Like the more hops you add, and then it's out of balance, and then you add more malt,
yeah,
and then it's out of balance again, and then you just keep on going and going, and next thing you know, you have like an 8% beer that you wanted to start off at 6, yeah, and it just gets out of control.
But it's probably a really good 8% beer, but it's like, okay, sure, I'm going to drink one of these, you know, and yeah, then I'm going to be full, and then I'm going to go to the Italian Pilsner or something.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But with this, I like hops. I love Matuka, like Citra. I think it's a good combo. Mm-hmm. I'm not always a fan of hop combinations, but I think these are two that pair well, and they only use two, and it works well. And I think it's a nice beer that, you know, get some spicy food, get some tacos, get some burgers, whatever, hot day, sitting there drinking this beer. I can drink 2, 3, maybe 4 of these, I think, because it's 6.2. I'm not going to get super full, and my palate's not blown out because the hops are out of whack. I right. think this is a really tasty beer.
Yeah, to me, this is very balanced. Very balanced. I like the creaminess of it up front.
Yeah.
But I like how it just ends. There's no lingering.
There's the bitterness or the resiny doesn't, like resininess or whatever, doesn't dry you out.
Right. But you know there's a hop bite, yeah, but it's not a New England hop bite.
It comes in.
Which makes this really nice.
It just goes.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It does what's needed and it gets done.
And I like that it's a clear beer, that it doesn't have all that extra body.
Sure.
There's enough body to carry those hops, but there's not so much body that you fill up, mm-hmm, you know, so
okay,
definitely super tasty beer.
What do you want to rate this?
Yeah, we'll go here.
Yeah. Good solid 4. I'm really impressed and really happy.
I'm not sure if it's that these guys are such good brewers or that we're such good beer shoppers, but I feel like this was a really nice flight.
Oh, definitely.
So we'll give them 50% of the credit and give us 50% of the credit.
Okay. Well, I'm a fan of Wanderback for sure. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thanks so much for being here, good old boy Dave.
Hey, I'll wander back to Vinny Land and get some of this beer anytime I can.
And I will wander back to the Jersey Shore soon, because yeah, I miss it. Anyways, this is Good Girl Juliana. Keep on chugging and catch you next time.
Drink more beer.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.
you want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media, you are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
This is Bird Note. The sights and sounds of birds visiting a feeder in the backyard or a local park can brighten our days during the darker months of the year. And if you want to take your experience to the next level, you can contribute to science just by keeping track of birds at a feeder. Project Feeder Watch is a community science project organized by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and Birds Canada. Thousands of people across North America help gather data on over 100 species of birds that spend their winters on the continent. From November through April, participants make lists of the birds they see at a bird feeder, bird-friendly garden, or water feature whenever they get the chance, and submit those lists online. It's that simple. You might think an activity so simple couldn't possibly make a difference. But the data from Project Feeder Watch have already helped sound the alarm about declines in bird species, track the spread of disease among wintering bird flocks, and note shifts in the ranges of bird species throughout the colder months. Through efforts like Project Feeder Watch, we can become the eyes and ears of bird conservation. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel. BirdNote is grateful to all listeners who provide financial support for this show. You can join them at birdnote.org.
How dare you complain about feeling betrayed when You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
Each year, for a week, we host Fund Drive, our annual fundraising campaign that augments our budget and supports our operations. It is thanks to you that we can rise higher and reach further.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Some governments and nonprofits are suing fossil fuel companies for their role in causing climate change. But is it possible to directly connect the actions of individual fossil fuel companies to the damages caused by global warming? Chris Callahan of Indiana University says yes. He and a Dartmouth College scientist recently used climate models to link emissions data from major fossil fuel companies to the increase in extreme heat events around the world. Then they connected those increases to economic losses from harms like lower crop yields and reduced worker productivity.
We showed that major fossil fuel firms like ExxonMobil, Chevron, Saudi Aramco, Gazprom can be linked to billions or even trillions of dollars in economic losses around the world from rising extreme heat over the last 30 years.
But Callahan says the most important takeaway from this research is not any specific number. It's the implication for climate liability lawsuits.
It is no longer sufficient for a company to simply say, we're one of many emitters and it's not clear what impacts we've caused, so you can't hold us liable. In fact, we can show what impacts have been caused by an individual emitter, and we believe that message will be important in these cases.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.